Kicking off hour number two of the program, this segment brought to you by the McKinney Team, proud sponsors of McKinney Team Hotline. It is the McKinney Team with Keller Williams, and you can check out all the listings at ZillowKnoxville.com. They love to help you out if you're buying or selling right here in the Knoxville market. Travis and Emily McKinney like their page on Facebook. Get in contact with them. ZillowKnoxville.com is the website. It's the McKinney Team with Keller Williams, proud sponsor of the McKinney Team Hotline. And you can give us a call. Today's big, important, massive, integral question for this weekend's game: who does Butch Jones compare to in mythology, history,
yes, fiction, non-fiction, culture,
entertainment,
history,
culture? Chief says these Butch Jones Game of Thrones comparisons on Three and Out are incredible. Let's go to the phone lines. The number.
Yeah, don't toot our own horn.
865-546-8200 is the number. 546-8200. Up first is Rod. Rod is back. Rod is optimistic. What's up, Rod?
Hey, fellas. How's it going today?
Morning, Rod.
I tell you what, yesterday I about didn't survive after I talked to you guys. I couldn't even go into work. I had to go back home and get Rocky the coon dog, and we went hunting just because I had to settle down, and that's the only thing I know to do to settle down. Now, y'all got me so fired up yesterday.
I'm glad we were able to do that somehow. I think you got you fired up, Rod, but we'll take the credit for it.
Well, I know, but Nate's chuckles, and that's what really did it for me. And I tell you this though, so last night I was still so fired up, and I'm not going to talk about that former coach. I'd sworn to my ex-wife that I would no longer mention his name because I sometimes put them in the same sentences, and I swore to her I wouldn't do it anymore. So I'm not, but I do have some historical data, because last night I couldn't sleep, and so I rolled over about 15 times, and I finally said, I'm gonna get out of bed, I'm gonna go sit in my chair, turn on the lamp, and I got out the Tennessee Football Almanac. And I started looking back through the history of this series. And do either one of you know what it's obviously been a series of streaks. Does either one of you know the longest streak in the series?
Oh, gosh, put me to the test. Is it
right now, isn't it?
Is this is it tied for the lead?
The producer, we're tied at 11 games. So right now it's at 11 games. In 1971 to 1981, it was also at 11 games. In that 1982 season, the Crimson Tide were undefeated. Coach Bear Bryant came into Knoxville with his number 2-ranked Crimson Tide. Mm-hmm. No one in Knoxville thought that the Vols and Johnny Majors had a chance.
No one thought.
Because they had beaten us 11 times in a row.
Unranked
and the Tide
Vols
were former SEC champions. They were undefeated. They were number 2 in the country. And Johnny Majors and the boys put a 35-28 whipping on them down there on Shield Watkins Field. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, Jeremy Pruitt is going to do the same. And instead of going and drinking 2 glasses of tomato juice after this victory, he's going to have 4. And I'm going to try to join him so I can calm down today, boys.
Damn it, Rod, you're giving me goosebumps.
This is Optimism Thursday now, Booty. Let's go.
I like it. I'm in.
Thanks for the call, Rod.
I'm in. I'm in on the
Davey, when Rod stops Thursday talking, he's done. We'll note that for the future.
Yeah.
We'll get that loud
I
pop.
I kind of like when the pop goes off for Rod.
It's like he really slammed the phone down.
Hurts my ears.
Yeah. Oh, you poor baby.
35-28.
Like 2 mic drops.
The unranked Tennessee Volunteers in Knoxville over the number 2 Bear Bryant-led Alabama Crimson Tide. 35-28.
They were only number 2?
Yeah, they were number 2.
You hate to see it. 11 in a row, huh?
11 in a row.
Welp.
Didn't John Reed cut a Florida 11 in a row video?
He did, and it worked. Don't think he cuts one this week.
No?
Just a hunch.
He's already gotten burned by that West Virginia one.
Just a hunch.
Season.
Welp. Rod.
Rod's still
love Rod's passion.
Either off his meds or on the drugs. I'm not sure which. One of the two.
They're interchangeable. Love Rod's passion. Love the passion. But I don't know that you could use history necessarily as a predictor for this weekend.
Is Phil Eddard Stark?
We're only doing Butch. We're not getting off into the weeds. We're not doing the where we name everybody a character
respected
from the
and betrayed. cut down only to be the central figure.
We should write that piece, though.
If Eddard comes back from the dead as a ghost in the last season.
Well, spoiler alert.
Easy.
He dies in the first season.
It's like 2010.
If you haven't caught up to that by now, I got nothing for you. Mm. If he comes back, and maybe that's it. If he rules the Iron Throne as a ghost in the final season, yes, then Phil will be Eddard Stark. Until then, I don't know what Phil is. I don't know who he is yet. I'll think about it. I'll work on it.
People call
maybe
him
Jon Snow.
Backstabber.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't...
Who? Phil?
Phil, yeah, from the Johnny Major. All the way back. I don't
well,
know.
That would be Baelish then.
Yeah.
Didn't end up so well for him now, did it?
No.
Of course, in fairness, no one in Thrones just rides off into the sunset. Rod, I've been told that you have a cold craft brew waiting on you anytime. At Hops and Hollers.
There you go.
Your local neighborhood craft beer store.
937
and
North
Tap
Central
Room.
Street.
Let me get to the and Tap Room before you give the address. I'm the address guy.
North
I'm the
Street.
Address guy.
937.
Rod's trying. He's trying, and I love it. Love the passion. Love that passion.
I'm trying to think. There was that stat the other day about Alabama went on the road. They went into South Carolina, who I think was unranked, and Alabama was number one and got beat. I'm trying to think of the, like, we pointed out biggest upsets, that USC Stanford. I was trying to think, has there been a time where Alabama has, like, laid, like, what's the biggest time they've ever laid an egg?
Under Saban?
That has to be it, right?
Which one?
They were number one. They went to South Carolina unranked and got beat.
Yeah, I guess so.
Kind of middle of the year. But see, that was still a bigger game. Like, game day was there.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah. Herb Street told some people before, we just had a feeling about it. Like, I don't know. This
could
team.
Phil be Jorah Mormont? Disappears, gets the grayscale, comes back, serves the queen. Well, I guess she's technically not the queen. She's just Khaleesi. Is that Beverly? Does that mean Khaleesi's out this season? Is Tennessee football actually... Hang on.
Is this where George R.R. Martin got his inspiration?
Yeah, he's like, you want to hear a crazy story? Get a load of this football program. Wait till I. Let's see here. Gus Darden tweets in and says, Maximilien Robespierre took power when France was at a very, very weak point, seen as a breath of fresh air by France and its people, but ended up being terrible. He was a paranoid leader who was ousted and then executed by those who followed him. That actually sounds pretty good. Unfortunately, Maximilien Robespierre, not very well known probably by the masses. Don't know if you could get a... Sorry, someone just sent one in that I can't read. I can't read that one. I'm sorry.
I was wrong.
I don't want to get political. It's Napoleon.
That South Carolina team was ranked.
Yeah. Way to go, Nate. Nice
sorry
job.
About that.
Are we receiving votes yet? After the win overall?
No,
Austin Archer tweets in, is Butch Andy Bernard from The Office, worked his way up to manager at Dunder Mifflin, got fired, and ended up as an unpaid employee at Cornell in the admissions office? I like Andy.
Did you
so
say
it's like
he was unpaid, right?
Butch is that type of personality where he thinks everyone likes him, even though no one likes him.
Does have an anger issue.
Yeah. Yeah, big anger issue with Andy. That's a good point.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like Andy. Like you said, I liked Andy. He was a good character.
But no one else really liked him, did they?
Yeah, I mean,
he had friends. So, okay. He had some friends.
It's good effort, though.
That's a good comparison.
Someone said Phil is actually Tyrion, which is ironic when you think about it. Because he's now the hand to the...
Phil is Varys. Varys always does what's best for the realm. Always. He's always pushing and pulling the pieces around the board. He helps Tyrion here. He helps Khaleesi here. Phil, he's Varys. For the good of the program, no matter what it takes.
Isn't Varys a...
If you can get past that one aspect.
The one feature.
Yeah.
Maybe getting fired from Tennessee makes you a, you know...
Yeah, it's a...
Phil's trying to grow it back by being the AD now.
It's a mythological figure.
We are flirting with disaster on this show this morning. Just going to go ahead and throw that out there.
But Varus is always, you know, pulling the strings. He even...
I think you give Varus too much credit.
He even backstabbed, you know, Joffrey and all that stuff. Think about it.
You're trying really hard on all these, I think.
What?
Backstab Joffrey? What do you mean?
His Thursday. Thrones Thursday.
It's Thrones Thursday.
Well, now that you mention it. Wait, what do you...
He got Sansa out. He, you know.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it was the Queen of Thorns.
But he was part of the whole thing.
We need a break, probably, don't we?
Yeah.
We're probably just needing...
It's about that time.
Needing to reset.
Reset. Yeah.
We just talked Game of Thrones now for 30 minutes.
It's fun.
Yeah, but we were on history, and then we got on the Game of Thrones, and now that's all anyone can think about.
It's kind of history.
Sort of.
Could be.
This segment brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Over 9,000 kitchen makeovers and counting right now. It started with 8,000 when they started with us, not 9,000. They love to help you with yours. It's a locally owned and operated, proud woman-owned business right here in Knoxville. And they love to help you with your kitchen, bathroom, countertops for any reason. Maybe if you're doing a man cave or a new bonus room, basement, bar tops, all that kind of stuff. They can help you out at Knoxville's Stone Interiors. It's online, knoxstoneinteriors.com, and located at 3900 Middlebrook Pike. You can swing in there. They're even open Saturdays from 9 until 2 for you, so you can even swing in this Saturday morning before you start watching football and check out the showroom and all the different options they have for you there. They got the quartz. They got the granite. They got recycled glass if you want to do like a cool bar top type of thing. And we'd love for you to check them out, knoxstoneinteriors.com. We reset, but I don't really know, like you said, to start this show.
You had a whole break. Figure that out. You had a whole break. Couldn't figure it out.
I mean, when you start thinking about the actual the football game, there's definitely a different feel for it. I mean, it was utter dread before the Auburn game, thinking about Alabama. I saw where someone tweeted, I just think of it, at least as a fan, as another bye week. Just another
Except
off week.
It's the opposite because you get hurt the whole time.
Well, that's why I said as a fan, because as a team and as a player, like, you have to go through the game. And I don't know, though. It now feels like I think you do, as Jeremy Pruitt put it, you take your best shot. You use it as a measuring stick. You see how far you have to go. I mean,
Doesn't this still feel like giving a, you know, advanced calculus test to a second grader? Like, I mean, we're so early in our process of, you know, here's what you need to become. It just seems like this is
maybe, but I'm telling you, there's something about playing a team that's so much better than you that down the road gives you confidence for the future. And I don't, even if it's in two more years, when you're back at Neyland Stadium, it's Alabama coming back, and Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson are both juniors starting at corner, and it's their job to, you know, lock up the outside receivers for Alabama because maybe their quarterback isn't as good as Tua Tagovailoa,
or maybe
he's
come back for his senior year and it's Tua again.
And they're loading the box to stop the running game, which is now the strength of Alabama, or something like that. Like, it, I mean, it's the USA getting killed by the Russians by like 12 goals or whatever it was, you know, and then just going through what that feels like so that the next time when you are at least closer on the same footing, you have the confidence to know what it's like. It happens a lot of times when
I don't know if I'd call it confidence.
One team is favored big time over another team, and they're so much better than everyone else you play. Sometimes it takes a quarter or a half just to get the feel of like how good you have to be just to stay in the game. And so it's good to go through that process, even if it doesn't mean it's going to matter this year. Maybe not even next year.
Did you see that statistic I sent you guys yesterday about Tua?
Remind me.
In the last 20 seasons, Tua Tagovailoa is the only Power 5 quarterback with at least 20 pass touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the team's first 7 games.
Yeah, he's good. And he's on one of the best. This has always been the biggest fear for Alabama. I mean, they're obviously always really good.
Was Nate just getting a little too excited for you?
Just had to bring it down.
A little too positive?
I'm trying to
figure out, you won Saturday because you won the turnover battle. You didn't turn it over once, and you forced them into three situations where they lost the ball. I'm trying to think of a way, to talk myself into it. How can you force them to cough it up?
I was just trying to talk about how it's okay to just go into battle and try and, use it as a measuring stick and see how it goes. You're probably not going to unless you get kind of lucky. Somebody misses an assignment or something, and you're like, hit him as he throws it.
No, that's what'll happen. He'll throw a pick, but they'll be up by 30, and it won't matter. But that'll be the story.
He's definitely less mobile now with the knee than he was.
But he wasn't really using the mobility that much anyway. In fairness,
yeah.
He wasn't running. He's not running around.
Don't really have to, yeah. Because I had that stat line where it's like 10 of 11.
Why are we talking about how great he is?
I don't know. Because it's Davey's fault. This game feels different than it did before you beat Auburn. I mean, let's not forget, before the season, people were saying Auburn had maybe the best chance to beat Alabama.
So what does that have to do with anything?
Well, you were able to beat Auburn. I feel like you can at least feel like you can line up and not completely embarrass yourself on every play this game.
Don't embarrass yourself on every play.
Did you hear your boy Barry Odom talking about how they were approaching the Alabama game?
No.
He said, "I'm not into moral victories, but I want us to make sure that our goal is to make this a game in the fourth quarter."
Didn't happen.
No.
They were still playing a game.
Maybe
that's what he meant. To still have enough players to field a team in the fourth quarter.
The announcers kind of made a joke out of it because the first quarter ended, and they're like, "We don't know if this game will make it four quarters, but they're definitely going to have to play into the second quarter," which was true because Missouri cut the lead to 10-7 or something, 13-10, something like that.
I mean, I guess maybe you could use the scoring. Bama's lowest output so far this season was 39 against Missouri with a banged up Tua. So can you hold them to under 39? But I don't know what you expect Tennessee to do offensively this week. Guys, it's okay to go into a game and not have a way that your team can win. That's okay. I'm saying that from a non-miracle, non-20 turnover. It's okay. It's okay to go into this game and, barring just insanity, understand that Tennessee is not going to win it. That's okay. We don't have to convince ourselves of the, well, if this, because for Auburn, there were six things that had to happen. For Alabama, there's 60.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be negative. I am very optimistic, and I'm very positive, and I'm very real about the prospects of Jeremy Pruitt and this football program based on what I've seen so far this season. I understand people were frustrated with the slow start. I get it. I understand that you're frustrated because the team at times didn't look like they knew how to do what they were being asked to do. I totally understand it. I do think it takes time. Not 7 years, as some morons would say, but I do think it takes time. But there are just certain roadblocks for teams that are going to make it very, 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 very difficult to win, and in a lot of cases, to even keep it close. Tennessee turning it over, what equated to about 8 times against Florida, makes it very, 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 very difficult to keep that game close. Being unable to block anybody on West Virginia's defensive line, going to make it very, 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 very difficult to keep it close. They were in a four-quarter game against Georgia. The dam broke. They did it against Auburn. That's great. This week is a completely different challenge. It's okay to go into this game and not look for, here's what we need to do to win, because then when that thing doesn't happen immediately and you're down 10, you're going to be very disappointed. Just go into this game and look for progress. I'm not saying moral victories. I'm saying progress. if Jared Garantano's back there and has time to throw, but the receivers are well covered, that to me is progress. If he has time, right? He hasn't had all that much time. And against Alabama, if he gets time to throw and the guys are just covered, okay, because you can get open against most everybody else. Is the defensive line continuing to get at least a little bit of pressure on the quarterback, even if it means Tua's spinning out of a tackle and throwing a 40-yard touchdown? You got to him. You caused him to have to work to do it. Progress. I hate to say it. I just don't know that I'm that worried about the scoreboard this week. I know that sounds lame. It sounds non-Tennessee, but it's, there are just some games that it's just not realistic. It's like a high school team playing against an NBA team. Yeah, you want to see some good things, but you don't have to win it to have progress. Don't get me wrong. It would be the biggest win in the history of Tennessee athletics. It would be. But I don't think that means that you're destined to get it. I'm sorry.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt talked about how, you know, they just don't.
Jeremy Pruitt said we're not working
anyway.
On punt return. Like, he's trying to let you know without letting you know.
Yeah.
We've got a big old challenge ahead of us this week. He's not going to do the thing where, yeah, we're beat up, and yeah, we're this, and yeah, we're injured, and yeah, we're that. He's just saying, yeah, they're really, really stinking good. They're so good on offense that we're not working on punt return this week. Ha, ha, ha. But I'm serious, because have you seen these guys? It just is what it is. This is, you're not on this level yet. It's like last year when Vanderbilt thought they were on Bama's level. Do we remember that game? We want Bama. We're ready. Yeah. What was that, 56-0?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I thought it was more than that.
60. It might have been. And Bama, because they're Bama and they're Nick Saban, they're already using Tennessee singing, "We don't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama," in the locker room last week after beating Auburn. They're already using that as their motivation for this week. Oh, you don't give a damn about us? Oh, we're going to show you.
Tackling fuel.
It's okay. We're getting there. We're it's progress, but it's probably not going to happen this year. Sorry.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here.
Optimism
it's
Thursday.
Yeah. This segment of the program brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. Check them out online, goldsgym.com, to download the free 3-day VIP pass. Give them a shot for free. Before you even join, there's 6 area locations around Knoxville. You got ones in the Carolinas, Chattanooga. Check them out. There's probably a Gold's Gym near you.
You can always stop in for a free tour, sit down with a personal trainer, work out a free 30-day fitness assessment plan just to kind of get you started. That's typically the hardest part I've always found when trying to get a workout routine going. It's just, where do you start?
Yep.
And then Gold's Gym can help you with that.
They've got you covered at Gold's Gym. Check it out, goldsgym.com, to get the free 3-day VIP pass. And but anytime, just swing in, take a tour. They'd be happy to help you there to do that before you even join. Alabama, Tennessee is 3:30 on CBS this weekend. I guess we kind of bemoaned that a little bit when it first came out. When you look at the other SEC games, I still think – I don't know. The main reason they probably put that game there is just because they know that Alabama fans will all watch it. It was kind of the safe pick. It is a rivalry game, so I don't know. They'll probably get eyeballs on it early on, just people checking it out and just wanting to see Alabama play and see how, you know, if Tua Tagovailoa's knee looks okay and all that kind of stuff. Other options, though, in the SEC would have been Mississippi State at LSU. To me, that's a pretty interesting matchup. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff. It is a night game at Tiger Stadium. You don't think that they would drop that type of game, especially with the way Mississippi State has been playing. But it is Ed Orgeron. It is LSU, who's been prone to do some weird stuff, I guess. They are coming off a huge win against Georgia at home. The line right now is LSU 6.5 in this one. So less than a touchdown, even at home, even at night, for LSU as they host Mississippi State.
Hasn't Mississippi State been their kryptonite a little bit recently?
I mean, that was the game last year, right, where you kept joking in the offseason, Nick Fitzgerald going to sneak up and beat somebody, and they just laid the wood
to
him.
They dropped the hammer on LSU.
It was at home in front of the Cowbells. It was kind of a different feel.
It's weird to me, though, that Mississippi State less of an underdog than Georgia. Or no, Georgia was favored by 7.5, right?
Yes.
Georgia, favored by 7.5, got the dog walked on them, and now here comes Mississippi State. Only a touchdown, I don't know. Am I missing something? Am I missing something here with this game?
LSU's going into the bye week next week, right? So this is the last game, because in Alabama, LSU in 2 weeks after Saturday.
Maybe.
I think that's right. I know both Alabama and LSU have a bye before they play each other, so I believe that's the way the schedule sets up. So this is, for both LSU and Alabama, kind of the last game in a long line of games. Maybe that's one reason to shrink the line a little bit. LSU coming off a big win. You know, will they have a letdown?
Is Mississippi State coming off a bye, too? They are, aren't they? Weren't Mississippi State and Kentucky?
Yes, those were the two.
Those were the two last
week. So that'd be a big reason, too. Okay, so that makes a little bit more sense. Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I want to go back to last segment. We were talking Tennessee, Alabama. Just real quick. I don't – maybe the word moral victory is too strong. I said look for the positives. Like, is that okay this week, given the circumstances? You know, it's one thing if you're in year four and you're getting beat by 50 and – or, you know, you're supposed to get beat by 50 and you get beat by 20. Like, that's not a moral victory. Like, hey, you're in year four. Like, this – you don't have an excuse for this one. But year one, Pruitt, culture change – you know, young defense, he's not making the excuses, but I'll say it. Some injuries have popped up a little bit lately. Is a moral victory, or insert other word that might mean something similar, is that a thing this weekend? Like, is that okay to come out of this game if Tennessee plays better than you expected, covers the 29, limits the Tide to do things they're not used to doing, which is, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're throwing interceptions. Maybe they're having to punt way more than people thought. Maybe you're actually the one moving the ball a little bit. Is it okay to come out of a loss this weekend and still feel good about some things?
It just depends on what sort of mindset you want to adopt. Do you want to have a realistic fan expectation going back to hour one, or do you want to take on the mindset of your head coach? Because, I mean, we know Pruitt is not going to be happy if you lose this game.
I'm not saying happy. I'm just saying, but he's going to go back and watch the film and say, oh, but this guy played pretty good. Like, he's going to do that.
I'd be a hypocrite if I said that's not okay. Like, I mean, I said after the West Virginia game, you're just, as a Tennessee fan, you're just going to have to watch this season differently than you would have if it was year three, year four, year 10 of any coach. Like, you just have to. And I hate to say that. It sucks, but it's a reality. You just have to. I mean, that's why, you know, Captain Touchback watched the Georgia game and just noted all the good plays that people made so that you could kind of look for those and hope that translates to good plays in games that you might win down the road. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, players made good plays, and it made the difference between winning and losing against Auburn. So I would think if you see good things in a loss against Alabama, that could still mean a win or a potential win against South Carolina, definitely Charlotte, Kentucky, Vandy, Missouri, all those teams later in your schedule you can win. Like, if you've beaten Auburn this year, every game left on the schedule after this week is winnable.
I do think it's interesting, even if you say miraculously keep this game to single digits, this would be the 1 week where the conversation nationally isn't about how Alabama's struggling. It's about how Jeremy Pruitt is actually putting a formidable team together. Because so far, like after Auburn, still from a national standpoint, it's not, oh, Jeremy Pruitt went in with the Vols and they were able to take down Auburn. It's what the hell's going on with Auburn in their locker room? These problems are starting to be consistent.
Not on this show, though, wasn't it? We warned the people if it happens that's what they would do, and I'm not letting them do it.
I know. I'm just talking from a national perspective, but Alabama's not got any problems that have made people question their greatness right now, other than you can say Tua's a little banged up. But I don't even think that's enough to constitute someone coming in saying, yeah, Bama's really got some problems that they need to get straightened out.
Well, if it depends on how the game ends up that close. If it's because Tennessee plays really well, then that'll definitely be the storyline. If Alabama fumbles five times and still wins by 10, they'll just say, well, Alabama had an off day. They fumbled a lot. You know what I mean? But if Tennessee makes some plays, if Jared Gratano hits two bombs for touchdowns, and you know you lose 27-17 because you scored two touchdowns, your defense played okay and held them to 27, then I think people will give Jeremy Pruitt credit for and say, look, they beat Auburn, and then they were the best team so far that's played Alabama.
I think your wide receivers can out-muscle their corners, and I think, Nate, you mentioned it earlier in the week. It's just whether they decide to play too deep over the top, and if they're bringing the safeties over, that's where the struggle would be with for the deep ball.
Yeah, I mean, if Alabama just sits back and plays coverage, can you even run the ball against their light front? I mean, it seems like a pretty easy game plan if I'm the Alabama defensive coordinator.
How'd you guys hijack my segment into talking schemes? I'm asking about positives.
I answered your question.
Because some people say moral victories don't exist at all, no matter what, in sports.
They're a liar. They're in denial.
Well, then I guess that's what I'm saying. Maybe we shouldn't call them that. But, like, can there be no positives from a game if Tennessee were to lose by 17? Like, is it okay to look for the positives and not have it be claimed? Moral victory just gets a bad connotation.
Yes.
Moral victory means,
It should be used in specific instances. Like, if you know, losing by one to a team where you obviously outplayed them and choked down the stretch, like that's not a moral victory. But if you play tough against Alabama and lose by 10 on Saturday, and you played about as good as you can play, and they're just better, that's a good thing. There's no like you're lying to yourself if you say that's not good. That's not good enough. I just don't believe in. We need to be 11 points better than we were.
Well, and I guess it's all about time, right? Like, no, it wasn't good enough today, but, like, this proves that it's better than it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it proves that it – I mean, 2015, when you went down to Alabama and lost 19-15, I mean, I get it. It didn't feel good. You felt like you played pretty well, but I don't think anybody was ready to, you know, punt the season right then. You kind of thought, wow, maybe this team is starting to put it together. And ultimately, that team did and was in the midst of putting it together. I don't know. It just feels like so many people are so beaten down that they refuse to look at any type of positives because the moment they do, they think the rug's going to get swept out from under them.
Right.
And I'm just thinking maybe this week, especially with what Tennessee has coming down the backstretch, if you stay healthy, if you play relatively well, right, if you do some things that people don't expect – make Alabama work for it a little bit, and again, I'll repeat it, stay healthy. I think that you can use this game as a positive springboard for the back five games of the schedule, and I think that's okay. I mean, maybe moral victory is the wrong word. Maybe the word, you know, the phrase moral victory is just so overused, and it's become kind of the slang for losing, right? It's just, oh, yeah, celebrating moral victories, that's what losers do. I don't know. I'm not going to look at this game and say that if Tennessee loses on a last-second 60-yard field goal 13-10 or 13-12, that I'm going to be out. And so I don't know. So many people already this morning even say, there's no such thing as moral victories. That's what losers say. All right. So you just don't break down film? Like, you just don't – I mean,
I don't understand. What's the alternative? You lost Alabama. You're still a loser. Like, I have a winning attitude, but we lost, so I'm a loser. Or
I found some positivities out of the loss.
I'm still a loser. Like, you either won or you lost.
It doesn't mean you're not working to fix things, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I think people think, oh, you're celebrating the moral victory. You're saying this is good enough, and that's not the case. At least not it.
That's not what you're trying to say.
And not with this coaching staff.
What you're trying to differentiate is between, you know, Butch Jones losing four games where he probably should have won three of them.
This is as good as it's been in 20 years.
Yeah, and then trying to justify that that's great.
Right, yeah.
You don't lose – like if they lose to Alabama by 21 this weekend and threw a pick six and, you know, gave up a cheap touchdown – those aren't good plays. Those aren't good. That's obviously not good enough. Mm-hmm. So don't try and spin it that way. But if you've made some good plays and that's why you stayed in the game for a while, then those – I don't know. It's like anything else.
It's just – I don't know. It's just so funny how people – anytime after a loss you say something positive, moral victory, moral victory.
Yeah.
Just like anytime you say, you know, something negative after a win, it's negaval, negaval, negaval.
I couldn't believe how many people killed, you know, some – Tennessee media members for saying anything negative after you beat Auburn. Like anything. Like pointing out any type of negative play that happened in the Auburn game was like, you know, traitor territory.
How dare you?
It's like, well, don't you think they want to fix that so they can play better in the next game and maybe beat a better opponent down the road next year, the year after?
No.
It's just part of the rebuilding process. Final segment. Coming up next. This segment of the program brought to you by Matlock Tire and Auto. Check them out online, matlocktireservice.com, for all the services they provide. It's more than just tires at Matlock Tire, and they've got four area locations to serve you. Lenoir City, Maryville, Athens, and, of course, Knoxville. It's Matlock Tire Service, the official tire service of 3 and Out and the drive here at Fox Sports Knoxville. We go back to the McKinney Team Hotline. We've got Buckeye Guy up first this segment as we wrap up hour number two. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. I called in. I said, sorry for calling so late. For some reason, I was thinking 9 instead of 10 for the end of the show. But
well, that's my problem. I meant to say final segment of hour two, and I said final segment. I was trying to get out of here an hour early, so you're good.
Hey, that's all right. Get your weekend started early. But no, as far as the moral victory thing goes, just a couple things with it. For Tennessee fans saying that there's no such thing as moral victory as far as they won't be happy, I mean, say Tennessee goes out and say Alabama ends up winning 24-17. Now, if you're a Tennessee fan and you can seriously sit there and say that I'm completely unsatisfied with that, then I think that's ridiculous because, one, Alabama's putting up 50 on everyone, and two, nobody has played them that close at all. I mean, not even relatively close. I think there is, like you said, I mean, a loss is a loss, but to go out and play within a touchdown of Alabama being maybe a 29 spread?
29.5, yeah.
29.5, yeah. If you go out and play within a 7-point game, then I think that's great. I'm going to be honest, playing within 3 touchdowns would be great because just of how they're dominating everybody, they're head and shoulders above everyone, and being an Ohio State fan, obviously I hate to say that, but I mean, it's just true. So that's one thing. Secondly, a few weeks ago, I called into the drive and I said the Auburn game would make or break your season. I felt like you were going to get beat by Georgia and then Bama, but I said the Auburn game would show it a lot. Let me tell you, I would love to have those two tandem receivers, Juwan Jennings and Callaway at Ohio State. They're great. I've been a fan of Jennings for the past 3 years. Basically, if you give Garantano 3 seconds and you throw it up 50-50 ball, it's more like a 75-25 ball with those two out there. You all got some great receivers, and correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember his name, number 84 maybe for you all?
Josh Palmer.
Yeah, he's also a great receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, you all have a passing attack if that offensive line can stand like they did, especially the second half against Auburn, and I think you all will be all right through the rest of the season.
Thanks for the call, BG. But will they lean on it? That's the question.
Well, I mean, it's like what I said earlier. Like once you get past this game, any game. I mean, they've shown now that any game is winnable. You can't be like, well, Kentucky's just so good. Like, I don't know, the best performance against Alabama so far this year was Texas A&M. That was a home game for Alabama. Alabama won 45-23. You know,
It's their only ranked opponent they've played this season, too.
A&M, you know, was able to move the football some. We talked about how Alabama's defense maybe isn't as good or isn't as good this year as in previous years. The scary thing is just the way they score. I mean, their point totals are ridiculous. 39 points last week at home against Missouri is their lowest point total of the season.
Bama does have a bye next week, so it's not like you would catch them looking ahead to their next opponent, because after their bye, they do play LSU.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get kind of a tired team this type of stretch. It is a road game, but I agree with Buckeye Guy. I agree with you, Houston. Like, maybe you can't stomach the word or the words moral victory, but you still have to be able to watch football and identify. If you want to be a smart fan, you just have to be able to watch a game and know whether your team played well or not. I guess maybe a better example is when you watch them play a team like UTEP. UTEP is ranked by the satirical ESPN bottom five as the worst team in FBS football.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch Tennessee play a team like UTEP, do you always go, well, we won. That's great. We're winners. We're not losers. I mean, the same people that say no moral victories are the first to criticize a team when they don't play perfectly against a bad opponent.
Moral losers.
So you can't really have it. You can't really have it both ways, in my opinion. I mean, I like to watch the team play and try. It's hard sometimes, but at least try and compare. Use the opponent as kind of as Pruitt said, a measuring stick. Like when you don't play that well against UTEP and you only win 24-0 and you're pretty sloppy. Like, just grade those bad things so you can hopefully improve on them. When you play Alabama, if you make some good plays, it's okay to identify those and say, hey, we were able to gain this advantage against Alabama. This is something we can use when we play the best teams on our schedule, because it's obviously a major strength. And as Buckeye Guy said, I think the wide receivers are one of Tennessee's main strengths on offense. We'll come back, kick off hour number 3 next right here. It's Fan Run Radio.